Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
This episode of Check the Locks is brought to you by our friends at Audible.
Audible is your one-stop shop for audio entertainment where you can always find the best of what you love or discover something new.
That's right. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from mysteries, thrillers, biographies, and of course, true crime.
And as an Audible member, you can choose one title a month from their catalog to keep forever, including the latest bestsellers and new releases.
Audible members also get access to thousands of podcasts from popular favorites, exclusive new series, and this very podcast you're listening to now.
Plus, the Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere. While traveling, working out, walking the dog, doing chores, Audible makes listening anywhere easy.
And best of all, Check the Locks listeners can try Audible for free for 30 days. So head over to audibletrial.com/checkthelocks or click the link in the show notes to start enjoying Audible today.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks podcast. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Saying thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying true crime case. As always, Olivia, it's wonderful to see you. How are you? How was your week, Ben? How you doing?
Oh, well, I'm doing pretty good. My weekend was a little rough. My air conditioner decided to quit working in New Orleans, Louisiana, when it's like feels like 105 outside. And, you know, all that humidity. So Saturday and Friday night were a little rough, but we got it fixed for a small fee. But yeah, now I'm sitting in here cold with my little jacket on.
Yeah, it has definitely been uncomfortably hot. Like right now when we're recording this, it's 10:08 p.m. here in Tennessee and it's 77. But it says like it feels like 82 degrees. So 82 degrees. At 10 o'clock at night is miserable. Today, I checked in and it was like, feels like 104. I was like, this is the worst.
It's 84 degrees. Feels like 92 right now here.
Oh my God.
With 82% humidity.
This heat wave has been like, because I keep my house, Kara likes to keep it like 73. And then when she turns her back, I put it to like 70. And so we go back and forth, you know, I'll change it. She'll change it, whatever. But it is literally one of those things where as soon as you open the door to walk outside, like you're just walking into like the, it's so uncomfortable. And then we had plans for Sunday where I thought people were coming here. And so I spent 5.5 hours doing yard work on Saturday. And I was like, this is the worst thing I've ever done. It was awful.
Yeah, I was supposed to run a 5K Saturday morning and I was like, I just can't fathom like being hot and sweaty and being outside and then coming home and not being able to cool off because I didn't know how long it would take for someone to actually get out here and if they would actually be able to fix it. So I was like, I just can't. Like, I just need to conserve all of my coldness. And I was literally in a dark house, like kept the lights off, didn't want anything to generate any more heat than was already in here.
Well, it's funny because whenever I'd like in the summertime, like I'm a cold shower guy. Like I will like the colder I can get the water, the better. And that's like every shower from, you know, the end of June to like the end of August is just like, how cold can I get this water?
I do take a cold shower, cold rinse off on Saturday.
Oh dude, there's like nothing better, but I'll take a, like a cooler with me when I'm doing yard work and I'll put 5 or 6 waters in there with just a bunch of you know, with a bunch of ice. And it was so hot that ice was melting so fast. And so at one point I just dumped the, it was like the ALS ice bucket challenge flashback where I was just like, let me dump it. I was like, oh, I feel so good.
Yeah, it's hot. I got to do yard work this week and I am not looking forward to it. I just keep saying, oh, it'll get cooler one day.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the surface of Earth is turning into hell and we all just need to deal with it. It's going to be so hot. It's awful.
Global warming, y'all. It's a real thing.
Yep.
Quit eating cows. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. It's the methane. Stop it.
It's the cow farts.
But definitely hope that everybody has been able to, you know, kind of beat the heat, stay cool. I know I posted in the Facebook, like, what are y'all doing this weekend? And a lot of really cool stuff. So, you know, hope y'all are staying cool and getting through it because it has been unbearably hot. But speaking of hot, this week is your week and you are bringing a little fire to follow up on a short on time that you did, if I'm correct with that, right?
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be as good as your 100th episode that we had last week. But I, you know, I did the short on time recently about Daniel Callahan, who, just to kind of like recap, was the Louisiana man who had recently murdered Callie Burnett and her 3-year-old daughter, Erin. I don't know if you remember me talking about that just a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah, I definitely remember. And he was the one who was like saying, like, I've only been out of the nut house for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah. So at the end of that episode, I had mentioned that his father had committed a similar crime. So this week we're actually going back to the 90s in Louisiana.
I'm sure a very safe time as well.
I mean, for me, it was fine. That's when I was growing up, you know?
Well, all I can think about is True Detective. Like popping into my head, you know what I mean? Right, to see Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey driving around the 90s.
Right, like, in Louisiana.
Just feels unsafe, but.
Well, I made it out just fine.
Well, debatable. But I'm super excited to get into it. What do you say? Should we just jump into this week's episode?
Yeah. Officer Kenny Corcoran lived just off Smiling Acres Road in Independence, Louisiana. One Sunday morning in April 1990, he was outside walking around his property when he noticed an eerie scene. There was a torn white shirt in the grass, and not too far away, a dark stain in the road that appeared to be blood. He notified the Tangipahoa Parish Sheriff's Department and Detective Chester Pritchett. Pritchett believed the car tracks and the blood were likely from an animal that was hit by a car. However, he did not have a good explanation for the torn white shirt. He took the shirt in for testing. And meanwhile, Detective Pritchett looked for recent missing persons or accidents that had happened over that weekend. There was nothing until the following Tuesday. In the courthouse, he noticed a flyer for a missing person. This was 19-year-old high school senior Rebecca Forbes. She was reportedly last seen 2 days prior at a local festival in Independence, Louisiana. She was last seen wearing a white shirt, oddly similar to the one Officer Corcoran noticed on his property. Detective Pritchett needed to talk to her family to get more details of the last time anyone saw Rebecca. On Saturday, April 28, 1990, around 6:30 p.m., Rebecca left her home in Denham Springs with a friend to attend the Italian festival in the nearby town of Independence. According to Rebecca's friends, she met a young man and spent most of the night talking to him. Eventually, the friends lost track of Rebecca. No one recalls actually hearing his name throughout the night. Pritchett had the girls come down to the station to look at prior mugshots of people in the community. They were able to identify a man named Kelly Drott. He was known as a troublemaker, and at just 20 years old, Drott had been arrested multiple times for house break-ins. Detective Pritchett was hoping to have a forensic report back from the white shirt before he spoke with Kelly Drott. Meanwhile, crime scene investigators returned to Smiling Acres Road as that area was now considered a crime scene. There, they collected beer cans, bottles, and cigarette butts, hoping to find some sort of DNA. A small piece of clear plastic was also collected and sent for testing. Now, on Friday, May 4th, 1990, Pritchett brought Kelly Drott in for questioning. Police needed to know more about their encounter that night. Drott admitted to meeting Rebecca at the Italian festival. He said they danced, talked, and she bummed a cigarette from him. Then, around 10 p.m., Drott said Rebecca disappeared in the crowd and he didn't see her again. Investigators took a look at Drott's car while he was at the station. They noticed that in the trunk of the car, he was missing a floor mat, and down in the wheel well was water, suggesting that the car had been cleaned. There was also what appeared to be blood on the hinges and near the taillight. Kelly Drott told police that he had recently hit a deer and put it in the trunk of his car. At that point, his car was impounded and sent to the crime lab for testing. They were able to identify blood throughout his car, which wouldn't be consistent with the deer only being in the trunk. Forensic evidence proved that the blood on the white shirt and the blood found in Kelly Drott's car was indeed type O blood from a human. It was sent for further DNA testing, which would take weeks. Now, on May 19, 1990, two men who were hunting along the Tangipahoa River found a badly decomposed body. Detectives were hopeful that this could be Rebecca Forbes. Forensic evidence would eventually prove that the blood on the white shirt was that of Forbes. It also proved that the supposed deer blood was none other than Forbes's blood as well.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Now, as for that small piece of clear plastic that was previously sent for testing, turns out it was the broken plastic faceplate of a watch. Now, Rebecca's severely decomposed wrist still had her wristwatch, ultimately confirming what detectives already knew. On May 23, 1990, 4 days after Rebecca Forbes' body was found, Kelly Wayne Drott was arrested and charged with manslaughter, and he was sentenced to 21 years in prison. Drott claimed her death was an accident. He said he pushed her, she hit her head, and that he put her body in the trunk of the car and threw her off a bridge into the river. Now, this is where the story gets wild. So Kelly Drott would develop a relationship while in prison with Robin Duvall. Now, fast forward to August 7th, 1994, Duvall helped Drott escape from a New Orleans prison where he was serving his 21-year sentence. The pair would flee in a station wagon, and Duvall brought some duct tape and a shotgun along with her. Later on, their getaway car would break down, and Drott and Duvall would steal a white car and a .357 pistol from a security guard. They bound up the guard with the duct tape and beat him with the shotgun. Continuing on, they arrived in Batesville, Mississippi, where they had stopped at a gas station. Duvall and Drott approached Lindsay Dye asking for directions. Now, what Dye didn't know was that this pair was armed and dangerous. Drott pulled out a pistol and forced Lindsay back into her car. Duvall left in the white stolen vehicle while Drott and Dye were in her car. The couple would eventually ditch the white car, but not before Drott would shoot his girlfriend Robin Duvall in the face. Drott rushed off with Dye still in the car. The pair were later involved in a high-speed car chase in Arkansas just south of Little Rock. It was at that time that kidnapped Lindsay Dye was safely returned home. Kelly Drott, unfortunately, put a gun in his mouth as police approached him, killing himself on the scene. Duvall was able to survive her injuries and was charged with the crimes related to Lindsay Dye. So that's this week's case.
Wait a second. So Drott shot his girlfriend in the face and she survived?
Like, yeah, she was like ditching the car. He shot her in the face. She ended up surviving and ended up going to court. So I don't know if it was as dramatic as it says, but I mean, she survived and there's court documents about her being charged with these crimes.
Getting shot anywhere in the face is dramatic. There is no place in my face where I'd be like, that's not so dramatic. You know what I mean? Like,
you know, I mean, like, what if it was just like the side of her cheek? You know, I mean, I guess I've just taken care of people who have had self-inflicted gunshot wounds and it's dramatic.
Yeah. I would still be like, I got shot in the fucking face.
You know what I mean? Well, like, for sure. Yeah. So yeah, this case is just, you know, the son is what caught my attention because he was recently arrested. He's been extradited to Louisiana already, which I can give updates on. But to hear that he basically grew up in a household with a monster is wild to me.
Yeah, it's real interesting because, you know, it obviously, like, the only thing that we know about him is what he did to Rebecca, right? Like, with that case. But I am really interested to know what his relationship was like with his son, you know, because obviously there's a history of mental illness, right? There's like something going on in that family that has been passed on. And again, man, as a parent, you know, just thinking that, you know, my kid in high school, you know, Rebecca Forbes, she's just going off with her friends to, you know, a festival. We used to go to all, we had like the Spree Festival and Liberty Fest and all this stuff in the town that I grew up in. And we would, you know, you get together with your friends and you all go and, you know, to think that, you know, this young girl could go and then just meet the wrong person. You know what I mean? It's really heartbreaking. And then it's also crazy to think, like, you know, like father, like son, like it's just passed on. It's really weird.
And they may not even be that close because they have different last names. And if I remember correctly, I think Daniel Callahan right now is 36 years old, if my memory serves me right. So that would have made him a 94, about 5, 6, 7 years old. Because I'm about to be 35 and I was 9, I would be 94.
Yeah, I was born in 85, so I would have been 10 and 95. And he's about to be 36, so we're a 4-year difference. So, yeah, he would have been like 6 and 95.
Yeah, so they may not have like actually been together during that time, but that just proves your point even more of like genetics and how much of this could be like some form of mental illness that's gotten progressively worse as it's been passed down. I don't know. I'm just kind of throwing ideas out there, but totally bizarre that just two people can have this happen.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is obviously speculation, but it's, you know, I think it speaks a lot to like, what is nature versus nurture? You know what I mean? Like, is this something Callahan that you just,
he said he did it. So like,
no, for sure. Yeah. And I know he's confessed, but I think for me, it's more like, is this a symptom because of who your father was and what was like passed down to you? Mm-hmm. Or were there other contributing factors and that just happened to be a coincidence? You know what I'm saying? Like, is it solely because your dad was who he was and had the problems that he had? Or like, was the rest of your life pretty terrible? Or is it a combination of the two? You know what I mean? That's where I'm like, you know, what could be going on there? You know, and what's really sad is at the end of the day, like whatever it was, people have lost their lives. And it's a, you know, it's, I mean, we lost a 3-year-old little girl, you know, it's just.
A 19-year-old, a 3-year-old, I think 32, I believe, 32, 33-year-old. And then the trauma of the 6, 7-year-old little sister, you know, the sister.
Yeah. You know, I also wonder too, because I've thought about this, but like, I just wonder how that affects the child. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you think about like somebody like BTK, right? Like BTK had kids. And so then you have to come to terms, you know, as that person's child that like, oh, my father did these terrible things.
Yeah. You know how do I mean? I and so I, that.
Yeah. Or like, what was it about him or, you know, I have a family member who, you know, deals with bipolar disorder. And I remember for a long time, I was like, oh man, like I'm probably going to have that, you know? And like, I was on pins and needles for a long time being, and not like, you know, millions of people have it and, you know, it's treatable and everything like that. But like, you know, it was just scary to be like, I could get that genetically, you know what I mean? And so I just wonder, especially if your dad does something like this when you're like 5 or 6, if you know about that growing up, you know, it's like, it's gotta be something that's hard to reckon with. And again, I'm not trying to like humanize him in any way. I mean, what both of these men did is absolutely terrible, but I think it's like, I think the questions are interesting, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if we're talking deadbolts, I mean, it's not I don't know. What are you thinking? I don't know where you're going to put this one. You could either go high because of the randomness of Lindsay Dye, or you can go low because it's just like, I don't know.
It's so either way, it's super interesting, right? So like, to know the family lineage and then to hear that this dude like broke out of jail with his girlfriend and then was like, guess what? Peace out. Bang, bang. And then like kidnap some other lady. Right. I think for me, I'm probably going to put this about a 7, which I know might be maybe higher than some people, but the idea of that genetic, cause it's like one of my biggest fears, right? It's like, I know I have like stuff that I've like been working through and stuff like that. And my big fear for me is like, how am I going to mess up my kid? You know, I know I'm going to mess her up in some way. Is it going to be a way where like she's still a functioning human? You know what I'm saying? Like, so there's that aspect. There's also Rebecca Forbes, you know, being in high school and like the fear of like a parent losing their child. And then there is like the completely randomness as well. So I think for me, I I'm not even going to say 7. I'm going to scratch it. I'm coming at a hard 8 when I break it down. But what about you?
Yeah, I mean, I just think this whole story is just bizarre. It's not super scary to me in a sense of like going to check my locks a lot, but I'm kind of right there with you. You know, there was just a lot of moving parts in this. And then to just flash forward to 2024 where his son is committing murder as well. It's like, it's just wild. And so I'm just going to give it a 7. One thing that stood out to me is that this person escaped from a New Orleans prison. And I only really know where one of the prisons is. And it's like right in the middle of town. Like our prison looks nicer than the hospital I used to work in. So like, that's a little unsettling to me that like someone can escape from prison in New Orleans. But there's been a couple people breaking out of prison around here, not in the city particularly, but in the suburb areas. So I don't know. That's more unsettling. Like there's manhunts and, you know, chasing these criminals that are able to escape. That scares me more.
Oh, yeah. It happens here like every once in a while, too. And it's like the whole state is like, be alert. I remember texting Kara and it was like 2 hours away from us. But I was like, hey, just so you know, some dude broke out of prison. Just be diligent because you never know like where they're, you know, going.
Where they're
like
headed, that.
But
yeah.
It's like,
I mean, these people went all over the place. They went from New Orleans to Mississippi up to Arkansas. They like did the whole little triangle up there. But yeah, so I'm going to give it a 7.
Well, and Callahan did the same thing though, too. Didn't he like cross state lines with the kids and like,
they just extradited him back.
So again,
I think they ended up getting caught in either Alabama or Georgia. I can't remember.
But it is. It's like the similarities.
Oh, no,
are,
it was in Mississippi. It was Jackson, Mississippi, I think, is where they caught him.
Yeah, because I remember when you were going through the notes, I was like, oh, Mississippi. Like, I'm pretty sure that's it, where, you know, your son did the same thing. So,
yeah.
Also, I think that, like, I don't know. I think it's the shooting yourself, too. Like, the completing suicide aspect. I'm also like, all right, like, way, you know, take the easy way out. You know what I mean? Like you're man enough to commit all these crazy crimes. And then you're like, I mean, I've also never been in a Louisiana prison, so I don't know how it would feel if I got out and had to think about going back, but
can't say I've experienced it myself.
No. So, well, that is where we fall on the deadbolt test for this week's episode. Olivia's giving it a 7. I started a 7, but I say, you know what? I'm going to bump it up. Let's give it an 8. But as always, we want to hear from the locksmiths, the listeners. Where does the murder of Rebecca Forbes by Kelly Wayne Drott fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at CheckTheLocksPod. Find us on Twitter at CheckTheLocks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, come hang out with us. We're talking about weekend plans, how we're beating the heat, just a lot of fun chit-chat, getting to know each other. So come be a part of that community. We would love to be able to spend some time with you. Olivia, normally, this is where, you know, we read a review, kind of turn things around a little bit, but if I understand correctly, we might be a little short.
We're real short. I don't have one to read, John.
Oh my gosh. Well, listen, if you're listening to the show, if you like what we do, leave us a review because we want to hear from you, especially like, what did you think of the 100th episode? Things like that. Drop it. Let us know. Olivia, if somebody wants to leave a 5-star review so we can read it on the show, what's the best way to do that?
They need to go to the Apple Podcast app, go to our show's homepage, scroll down where you see all five of those stars, click all five stars. Again, whatever color they are on your screen, leave us a little bit of love. Just make sure you click all five stars.
Yeah, for sure. If you got that dark mode or whatever, just make sure you click all five of them. Let us know what you think. Again, these reviews are really helpful. They help us get into other shows' recommendations. They help new listeners find the podcast. And so if you have not already left us a review, we would really appreciate it if you took the time to do so. Again, it just helps us tremendously. Now, Olivia, we may not have a review, but I did not come empty-handed because we were lucky enough to get a voicemail. And I thought it would be really fun to play it on the show. What do you think? You want to hear it?
Of course. These are my favorite.
All right. Let's do it.
Hey, my name's Kaylee and I'm from Yorkshire in England. I accidentally heard your podcast when I didn't put a sleep timer on after listening to a number of other true crime podcasts, and hearing you two talk to each other really perked me up. I was like, oh, who are these guys? And the way you interact with each other is great. The cases that you choose are really interesting, and the fact that you are very real, like you talk to us about what's going on in your real lives and stuff, helps us also be real and accept what's going on with us whilst indulging our interest in the cases that you look at. So thank you so much. You're both brilliant.
Okay, so number one, that's the coolest voicemail we've ever gotten, I think, personally. Because I just love someone who has an accent, and I've never been called brilliant before.
Listen, I've been called a lot of things.
But not brilliant.
It's definitely not one of them. Oh,
I know. I love it. Thank you so much. It's mostly, hey, dumb,
move your big head.
Yeah, and such a cool way to find our podcast as well. You know, just forget to put the sleep timer on, and next thing you know, you're listening to Olivia and John. So that's really cool. And all the way from the UK, even better.
Yeah, Yorkshire, like... That is the thing that kind of blew me away, right? Because we talked about it before, where like we know, like we can see, you know, if a little behind the curtain, right? If you run a podcast, depending on your host, you can see where people are listening and stuff like that. So it's like, oh, like so many people are listening in England and so many people are listening in Canada or like wherever, you know? And it's one thing to like see that, but then to actually hear from someone.
Yeah, to like see the little dot on the map is like, okay, yeah, someone in that country is actually listening. Are we sure that it's just not like someone from the U.S. traveling? But then to like have the voicemail, just like, that's just crazy to me.
Yeah, Kaylee, thank you so much for taking the time to leave us that voicemail. It really does mean so, so much. And, you know, again, we just love hearing from our listeners in general. But again, to know that this little podcast is reaching as far as it is. It just makes it a super cool experience for us. Like I got that voicemail. I knew we were recording. I was super excited to play it for you. Cause like all, since I had heard it, I've been giddy. I was like, I know Olivia's going to love this one. So thank you for leaving that voicemail and supporting us even, you know, so far away. We appreciate you so, so much. And if you would like to leave us a voicemail, we would love to hear from you as well. Give us all the feels, the giggles, the tingles. Head over to checkthelockspod.com. You can click the little voicemail icon. Leave us that voicemail. We'd love to play them on the show and hear from you. Again, there's just something really, really cool about hearing the voice of our listener and what y'all think. So, again, really do appreciate your questions, comments, anything you got. Feel free to reach out. I also wanted to add, Olivia, I don't think I've ever told you this, but it does feel nice when we like when someone is like, I like the way you guys like talk about yourselves and what's going on. One time we got a Spotify comment that I did not read on the show, but it just said, no one cares about your personal life. And I was just like,
yes, they that do. Hurts.
I was like, that hurts so bad. We're just, you know, talk about what's going on. So
trying to be again, different.
Kaylee, thank you. Well, not even, you know, just want to be,
just
you know,
be ourselves.
Humans.
Like, we're just we know John and Olivia listen. Hanging out on a Sunday night.
Yeah. So, again, Kaylee, just appreciate you so much. Well, as always, if you like what we do, you want to help us keep the lights on, support us financially, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/Chet the Locks. Get signed up today. Got a lot of great tiers. We got stickers, coffee mugs, all sorts of stuff you can only get for being a patron. Plus, you get the episodes ad-free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those commercials, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you want to help us keep the lights on, support what we do. That is patreon.com/checkthelocks. Get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening, hanging out with us every week means just as much, if not more. So if that's you, you know, you're tuning in, sharing what we do with your friends and family, just know that we appreciate you so much. Again, I know I say it every week, but it is just about us growing our community, our family, and the best way to do that is by word of mouth. So if that's what you're doing, just know we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. That is all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
Bye.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.